I want to go to Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Here's the comparison. Abraham in the tent, Lot at the gate of the city. I think that worldliness is a hard attitude. Lot had moved to an ungodly city. He didn't have to be ungodly. Remember, Joseph went to Egypt, but Joseph was still godly. Daniel went to Babylon, and Daniel was still godly. Esther was in Persia, and Esther was still godly. So the point being is, Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He still had a choice to be a godly man or a worldly man. I think it's interesting that in chapter 18, verse 1, two angels and God come to meet Abraham. But in chapter 19, verse 1, only two angels come. Apparently, because of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, God withholds his fellowship from Lot. Two angels and God come to Abraham, but only two angels come to Lot. God withholds his fellowship. The obvious is this. Listen, if you're a believer and you decide to live a worldly life, God's going to withhold his fellowship. You're going to be out of fellowship with God, and you're not going to have all the blessing that comes with it. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 21, 22, and 24. John 14, verse 21, says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will reveal myself to him," manifest myself to him. So it says, he that loves me will be loved by my Father. I'll reveal myself to him. I will love him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest, or how is it you'll reveal yourself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." If you want to have God's blessing, God's fellowship, you and I have to be obedient. In Ephesians 3, verse 17, it says, "The Lord settles in your heart." So, let's read chapter 19, verse 2. It says, "And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, No, but we will abide in the street all night. And he passed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him." He pressed upon them, "and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, Where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out to this place. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them that is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, go back to chapter 18, and I'm assuming you know a little bit of this story. God and the two angels come to Abraham in a tent, and they come with good news. Abraham is in fellowship, and they say to Abraham, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. That's good news. Sarah laughs to herself and says, a woman at my age, I'm going to have a child. I'm going to be 90 years old next year, and I'm going to have a child. Abraham in fellowship gets good news. But they come to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they say, listen, we are going to destroy this city. Now remember, both men are still, they're believers. Abraham's living for the future. Lot's living for here and now. Abraham is promised a child. Lot is promised destruction. Look at verse 14. It says, And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Abraham is going to have a child. Isaac's going to have Jacob and Esau. Jacob's going to have 12 sons. Abraham is going to influence the world. Lot, on the other hand, goes to his sons-in-laws and says, This city is going to be destroyed. We've got to get out. And they mock him. They laugh. Lot has no influence. Abraham's going to influence the world. Lot has no influence. He tells his daughter's husbands, we must get out. They laugh at him and they won't come. So Lot had no influence. His character had deteriorated till he had no influence on his own family, let alone a city. Do you understand? Now, if you read verse 15 to verse 26, we know this about Abraham. Abraham has Isaac. He raises him up. He's still living for eternity. He has the promise that his seed is going to bless the world. He raises up Isaac, and he takes Isaac to Mount Moriah, and he offers Isaac on the Mount Moriah, offers Isaac as a sacrifice, all right? But if you read verse 15 to 26 in Genesis 19, you find that when the angels had to took Lot by the hand, they took his daughters and his wife and pulled him out of the city, you find that Lot lingered, Lot argued with the angels, Lot begged if he could have it his way. Do you see the contrast? Abraham says, God, I am going to trust you. Whatever you have for me, my life is in your hand, and I'm going to obey you. On the other end, Lot says, God, I don't want to go. Can I go so into another city? I don't want to go into the mountains. I want it my way. Abraham's living for God. Lot's living for himself. All right? If you'd read on, verses 27 through 38, it says, if we compare the visits, when God and the two angels come to Abraham in chapter 18, there's new hope. There's excitement. Abraham, you're going to have a child. The promise I've made to you is going to be completed. But if you read in chapter 19, Lot, everything is lost. Everything's lost. we're going to take you out of Sodom. We're going to destroy the city. And then when they get Lot out of the city, his two daughters, his wife turns and looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt. He goes up into the mountains. His daughters, in drunken incest, both become pregnant. And they both have boys. They become the leaders of the Moabites and the Ammonites, both of which were enemies of the Jew. Do you see where Abraham's life led to a blessing and influence in the whole world, and Lot's life led to enemies of Christ? In the Christian life, you must determine you're going to separate yourself from the world. You're going to determine, are you going to live for eternity's sake or whether you're going to live for tonight's pleasure? Warning, don't live for the world. Don't become friendly with the world. Don't be stained by the world. It's interesting, just as a general statement, that all across this country, churches are striving to be like the world to gain people. Isn't it interesting? Churches are trying to be so much, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, where Christ says, come out from among them. I want you to be different. Well, what's the end result? Well, the end result is the church that tries to be like the world will have little influence. The church that is separated in the end will have great influence. I can't prove this, but I tell you, I think this is going to happen. Persecution at some point is going to come in this country. And the churches that want to be like the world are going to say this. They're going to say, you know what? We have to go with the flow. If we don't go with the flow, we won't win anybody. And the other churches that say we won't go with the flow are going to be persecuted. The churches that go with the flow ultimately have no influence. Churches that are persecuted ultimately will have great influence. I think it'll go right into the tribulation. I understand the rapture. Believers will be taken. But watch. When the rapture takes place, there will still be thousands of churches. Thousands of people will remain here. And they'll go with the Antichrist. They'll say, you know what? We're like the world, and they will fall under the leadership of the Antichrist. The obvious is there, following the rapture, many will not be taken, and they'll still be here, and church will go on just like it always did. The Antichrist will be revealed during the tribulation and then become the world dictator. So I hope you see the difference between Genesis 18 and 19. Make a decision, like Abraham, to live for eternity.